This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening, I'm Ezra Zion.
Good evening, I'm Caroline O.
And this evening we're going to be talking about walking the corridors of power. We've all watched White House dramas like The West Wing or House of Cards, and perhaps we've loved the twists and turns that took place along these corridors, and perhaps we've even wondered if it was the same behind the walls of Putrajaya.
Yeah, well now the Perdana Fellows program gives you that opportunity to walk along the, as Ezra puts it, corridors of power. And there's corridors of Putrajaya and offers you a glimpse into how real government works, how it gets done on a daily basis. The internship program has the candidate mentored by cabinet ministers, including the prime minister, deputy minister, and it's a great training ground for students who haven't even professionally stepped into the working world.
And of course, here to tell us more is Syed Sadiq, Syed Abdul Rahman, former Perdana Fellow to the de facto law minister, as well as Zara Kahan. She's a special officer to the Minister of Youth and Sports, coordinator of the Perdana Fellows. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hello.
Hi, Ezra.
Hello. And so tell us about this program. Syed, let's start with you first. You were a former Perdana Fellow to the de facto law minister, Nancy Shukri.
Yeah.
And so how did that whole thing come about? What was the whole experience for you like?
The first time I heard about this program was through an advert placed on the internet. So when I first heard it, I thought, like if I am to apply, the likelihood of me getting in would be remarkably low, because obviously this program would want to select the best of the Malaysian youth to be specifically designated under respective ministers. So it's not only about deputy ministers, it's actually under full cabinet ministers. But then when I applied, I just wanted to try. And when I got in, I was remarkably happy. And one thing which is often underrated here is that usually there's a misconception that you must be a government supporter in order for you to get into this program. However, if you want to look at the selection criteria, it's very open and transparent. You need to write an essay, and in the essay in and of itself, it compels you to criticize or propose new policies which previous governments have not yet implemented. So you'll be assessed based on that essay. If you actually know what I wrote, it's actually quite controversial. Mm-hmm. However, I'm still in, so I'm pretty sure other people could also do that as well.
All right. So Zara, what was that journey like for you? Why did you decide to do this, and what were you hoping to glean?
Well, the Perdana Fellows program is actually an idea from the Prime Minister, Dato' Najib Razak, and basically our ministry was in charge of implementing it under the leadership of YB Khairi Jamaluddin. We were given a very short amount of time to actually implement this program. My boss told me about it, and he said, "We're going to do it in 2 months." And
wow!
So yeah,
that's a short runway.
Yes, exactly. Well, happily enough, you know, this is our third year doing it. Obviously, we have more lead time. Now, the general idea that we got was we were going to give more youth access to the policy making, to give them exposure in terms of what we do at so-called the highest level of power.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Sadiq will obviously be telling you how it's exactly not that glamorous. But there's a lot of learning along the way. I think what we wanted to achieve basically with this program was to have more youth have a better understanding how policy making actually works. From the application process itself, when we were getting essays, if you want to submit the essay, the question is that you actually have to choose a policy and then criticize it and tell us how you'd make it better. And that's why, you know, Sadiq's essay was still accepted, even though he wasn't very complimentary. But so basically what we got was the fact that a lot of people don't really understand what policy is in the first place. A lot of people talking about things that were not policy, you know, were not policies in the first place. But the good thing about this whole application, about the Perdana Fellows program, is that we found that there are a lot of youth out there who are very, very passionate about nation building and who have a lot of great ideas, some of them crazy, but still, I would say that the objective that we wanted to reach was achieved.
Well, there's hope in the young generation yet.
Indeed. So the Perdana Fellows program, you've mentioned that this is its third year, is that right?
Yes, it is third year.
And so prior to, what was the idea? Was it a case of, you know, government wanting to engage with the youth more, or was it bridging the gap? What was the entire premise of this whole thing?
Well, the brief that I was given was that we just wanted to give youth more exposure to policymaking, and that was it. As Sadiq has said, this is not a political program.
Yeah.
There is no, you know, you don't have to come in waving any flags. We don't really force you to choose any political slant whatsoever. In fact, a few of our fellows have actually written essays online about the experience. And one particular essay, which is my favorite, was one written by one Lau Jin Wu. Mm-hmm. And in it, he says that, you know, when he applied for the program, like Sadiq, he thought he'd never get in. And, you know,
Something's wrong here if everybody thinks that they're not getting in.
No, but you have to listen to this.
There's these conceptions that you've got to go into this internship waving flags, wearing a particular color.
I mean, he was saying that he doesn't have any connections. He thought that I'd have to, you know, have like cable or something or know someone important. Well, he was chosen to actually intern under the Prime Minister's office. Yeah. And he was really surprised because, you know, he said, you know, my parents are normal people. I'm an ordinary person. And we chose him because his application was outstanding. And that's how we choose Perdana Fellows. It's basically it's a merit-based program. We don't have...
merit-based program? Yes, I mean, how wonderful that is.
Revolutionary.
Folks, we're going to continue talking about the Perdana Fellows program. Stay tuned to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. You're with Caroline and Ezra. It's the Evening Edition. And this evening, we're speaking about the Perdana Fellows program. In the studio is Sadiq Syed Abdulrahman, former Perdana Fellow, as well as Zara Kahan, Special Officer to Minister of Youth and Sport, who's also the coordinator of the Perdana Fellows. Now, of course, you're looking at candidates to undertake this internship. Ranging, I guess they have to be students first and foremost. So you're looking at 18 to 30.
Is our cutoff date.
Okay. Yeah. And so, how long is this program for?
Basically, if you are a undergraduate, the maximum is 3 months. But if you're postgraduate, the maximum is actually 6 months. But you can actually choose within the period of 3 months. Let's say you want to do less than 3 months is the actual time you can spend longest on it. That's a terrible way of explaining it. Basically, you can just say that I want to do it 1 month. Yeah. You know, but the maximum that you can serve under minister is basically 3 months.
So, how does the 6 month thing play out then? If the three month is the maximum?
The 6 month is only for those who are postgrad, which is basically you've already graduated.
Right.
What exactly do you mean by...
How is that different from the 3 month and the 6 month? If the 3 month is the maximum, mm-hmm. you know, how do you extend it to 6 months?
Well, basically, the program itself, as the Ministry of Youth and Sports doesn't exactly design a program for every Perdana Fellow.
Yeah.
When you're assigned to your specific ministries, it's up to your minister to decide how to basically use you.
Right. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. So tell us, Syed, what did you want most of all, to get out of this, and have you achieved it so far, in your opinion?
I personally believe that I have. So initially, one of the biggest motivations which I had is that I no longer just want to be a bystander or a criticizer by the side by not doing anything. So that's why I decided to attempt to actively participate in the formulation of Malaysian policies.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm quite lucky, to be honest, that I was placed under YB Nancy Shukri. Like, I got the opportunity to interact with her on a daily basis. Whenever it comes towards the discussion on policy making, like the Law Reform Committee, she'll invite me, and I'll also be able to chip in on my opinion. Some people will be able to craft policies or at least communicate the ideas to make it more youth-centric as well.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will also be given the opportunity to craft speeches on behalf of the minister. So there are so many things which people could contribute. Like myself, I think the best thing which I'm able to do is to actually understand how ministers actually operate. So initially, especially through the portrayal of the media, usually I'll always think that it's quite easy to actually become a minister. Like, you just have to attend some events, go back, chill, nothing much.
Wear the flower on the leaf.
But like, when I realised I had to follow YB Nancy back to a constituency in Sarawak, like, she does that on a weekly basis, and like, she rarely exits office like 6 to 7 o'clock. She exits like really late, comes in office really early. So it definitely opened up my eye when it comes to it. How ministers actually work, and it's not an easy task, and the amount of things which you need to juggle from one place to another. So definitely an eye opener.
Did you find, so in your I suppose in the opportunities given to communicate with her, did you find that the youth perspective was being sort of grafted into her daily routine?
Yes. One of the ways in which I found it helpful is that the first time I met her, she already mentioned that every morning she'll give me an opportunity, and it's not only me. Each minister, I think, would be designated like 2 Perdana Fellows under them. So like, it's me and my other colleague called Petra. So like, every morning we'll be given the opportunity to meet up with her, share our opinions, and after that, there might be a follow-up from that as well. At the same time, when the ministers are busy, they'll give us the opportunity to directly deal with their special officers. So in a way, we're able to contribute in a lot of ways. And I think as Zara would also testify as well, even after the Perdana Fellow program has ended, if you're lucky, if you're talented, as a lot of my colleagues are, there are a lot of people who are actually absorbed into respective ministries who are given the direct opportunity to work with ministers. So like Zaidil, Amira, Yakin. So like these are people who are currently under the Defence Minister, under Defence Minister, Finance Minister, people in the MITI. These are people who are given the opportunity to directly work under the ministers after this programme.
Right. I think altogether we actually have 15 Perdana Fellows who have been given permanent positions under the respective ministries.
Any other feedback from the ministries proper in that, was there anything that they said that they had learned from the youth?
From the ministries itself?
Yes.
Well, that would be basically on what we got from individual feedback was that they thought that the program was great. Mm-hmm. In fact, in our second intake, we had ministers asking for more than two fellows, because in the first batch, we actually only had two fellows per ministry.
Right.
And because they were quite happy and were very happy to have the interns as part of their ministries, they actually asked for more.
Yeah.
And a few ministers were actually up to four and five. And I think how they've contributed in ministries is that they've actually given them perspective on, especially communications, because one of the biggest complaints that we get nowadays is that youth feel that we're not communicating with them in a way that is, you know, that is clear or that in a
that
way that they can relate
to. Youth.
Yes. So there are a lot of the Perdana Fellows actually sometimes take over the social media accounts, and I believe that, I can't say this is for every ministry, but I think that we've got a lot of feedback on how they've managed to give their own ministers great perspective on policy, but I can't obviously, you know, reveal specifically what it is.
What I think is really great about a program like this is that, you know, I'm listening to Sadiq right now. He's got all this enthusiasm and optimism and wanting to be part of the process, which is what this program offers. But Sadiq, tell me, I mean, in that sort of 3 months or so or five, how did that optimism, you know, reconcile with some of the realities and difficulties or frustrations that you would see within the closer perspective of being at the heart of the beast, so to speak?
So honestly speaking, like, it depends on which minister you are placed under. Obviously, some ministers would be more open and more transparent and would want to transact with you on a daily basis, while some ministers are busier than the others. I was lucky enough to be under YBNNC. However, at the same time, to balance out that level of optimism, when I first got in, obviously there's some level of distrust, i.e. like, who's this person? How much information can I reveal to this new intern, etc.? But as time passes by, as you interact a lot more, you're able to come up with a lot more ideas. And then as you build a relationship of trust, you're given more, your ideas are taken into consideration a lot more. So obviously, maybe at the beginning, you'll see like, oh, why am I only like a coffee boy? But in actuality, like, that's not the case as time passes by.
Is there a properly crafted program? As in, all right, for the first 2 weeks, he's going to be making coffee, and then he'll move on. Or, I mean, is there a schedule?
Because you know, given the long hours, a good cup of coffee is paramount. Let's make no mistake about that.
So, is there one?
There are a few things that are scheduled, such as orientation, and there are a few programs that we schedule for all Perdana Fellows, such as a few programs we partner with Genovasi, for example, and a few other NGOs to give them exposure to community building initiatives. But in general, the person who is in charge, you know, is the respective minister, and they decide
on the day to day.
I think each ministry, it depends on their team really, who calls the shots, how their team is run. Some of the Perdana Fellows actually follow the ministers on ground in their respective areas and watch how they actually look after the districts, and some of them are basically placed in strict policy making duties, where they do research and things like that. So it's basically a lot. It's on an individual basis. Nobody gets, you know, exactly the same program.
But I can assure you, like, through my experience and also when I share my experience with my other Perdana Fellow mates, like, you will not be treated as a coffee maker, especially because how this event is run, especially because it's also under the office of YBKJ, where he specifically instructed respective ministers to treat us well as well, so that we are given serious responsibilities to execute. We're not merely a busboy. So, in that
particular
sense,
sometimes you'll have to fetch coffee.
Maybe initially.
I say that in jest. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's the whole intern and get me a cup of coffee.
Yeah, yeah. But then, that's normal. Mm. Even if you intern under the best CEO or chairman, at times, occasionally, you will be compelled to do that. But at the end, it's what you can contribute and what you would recommend your ministers to do. So one thing which I would definitely recommend prospective Perdana Fellows to do is that try be the initiator of change. Don't just wait for your ministers to assign responsibilities to you. Propose things. I think this can be improved in this particular way. If it's possible, I'm an expert in dealing with social media interaction, so allow me to manage your account. Mm. So we must be the movers and shakers in comparison to the ones who only receive orders, because obviously when you're new, that relationship of distrust is still there, mm-hmm. but you must bridge that gap, and that can only be bridged once you communicate with the ministers a lot more.
For our orientation program, we actually tell the fellows that you're basically the work given to you, as in this whole issue of trust that Syed was talking about. Basically, it's up to you improving yourself, improving your capabilities, and that will actually decide how much work you're actually given at the end of the day. If you can prove that you can deliver results, if you can prove that you are hardworking and you're someone that can be trusted, the level of work given to you will generally, you know, be...
Right, so you decide your own capacity, really.
Folks, we're talking about the Perdana Fellows Program. In the studio with us is Syed Abdulrahman, as well as Zara Kahan. I've got some more music for you, Ruby by Kaiser Chiefs, right here on BFM 89. It's the evening edition. You're with Caroline and Ezra. We're talking about interning in the corridors of power at Putrajaya. In the studio with us is Syed Abdulrahman, a former Perdana Fellow, as well as Zara Kahan, the coordinator of the Perdana Fellows program. Sadiq, I guess, you know, so far what we've heard about the program has been a terrific experience for you.
Yeah.
But tell us, you know, perhaps two different impressions that you have.
Yeah.
First, you know, your favorite moment of having this internship, what were you impressed by, but also at the same time, what were you unimpressed or underwhelmed by throughout this internship?
Okay. In terms of what I was overwhelmed in a positive way by, I think as I mentioned before, I misconstrued how a lot of ministries operate, especially like how ministers operate as to their work schedule, whether it's actually very lenient, whether they do a lot of things or not. So I think definitely it was an eye-opener, especially when myself and a lot of my colleagues were given the opportunity to head down to respective like constituencies and see how ministers work then and like what they can actually do to change the lives of people on the ground. So that definitely was an eye-opener.
Is there a distinction there in terms of the work that you're doing for the minister versus the work that you're doing for the Member of Parliament who also happens to be a minister?
Yeah, so there are definitely a lot of things. So like if you look at the work of the minister, not only are you expected to take care of your constituency, but at the same time, you need to handle like 6 or 7 or 9 different departments. So you must find a way to balance your work life, your family life. I distinctly remember at one point in time when I was talking to one of the sons of my minister, he mentioned like, it's quite difficult to see my mom nowadays considering how busy she is. But then I realized that some personal sacrifices must be made for the rakyat, and that's definitely was an eye-opener. So that's definitely a good thing. But
good
in terms
thing.
Of something which I'm slightly underwhelmed, Zara might be just staring at me now.
Hang on. You're a former Perdana Fellow, right?
Don't look at Zara. Yeah. We try not to.
And that's the key thing. You're a former Perdana Fellow. You're a former Perdana Fellow.
So I think it's not necessarily under my minister, but I've heard a lot of stories from my other friends who are placed under like bigger ministries. So unfortunately, again, like even though the schedule exists at the very beginning, but unfortunately at the end, as like 1 or 2 months passes by, then maybe those fellows would not be given like adequate opportunities to do meaningful changes, i.e. at times they'll just sit down and do other stuff. But then again, that's when I mentioned at the very beginning, as I would like to give the disclaimer that whenever this happens, usually your ministers are very open, but if that happens, you need to take up the initiative to propose things. You shouldn't just like, oh, okay, so that means I'm not given any job, I'm not going to do anything.
Yeah, I'm just going to sit down and die.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. When else will you be given the opportunity to propose policy outcomes to a full cabinet minister? So definitely utilize it. Don't just wait until a job is prescribed to you.
And Zara, I guess, you know, given that this is its third year of the Perdana Fellows program, I imagine feedback and constructive dialogue has happened with regard to this program and the relevant ministries. And are some ministries more reluctant? Are some ministries more excited about taking on you know, the interns?
I would actually say very confidently that all ministries are very eager about the Perdana Fellows program. And I'm just going to address what Sadiq said. And because
she's going to rebut me now.
Of course.
No, I'm not going to.
You have
actually,
to, of course.
I think it's I'll agree that that's actually the reality of the Perdana Fellows program. You actually have to fight for the attention. And this is the reality of being an intern in any big corporation. Yeah. I think even in BFM, I might know a little too about what it's like to work in BFM.
From a BFMer.
But basically, if you are an intern and there are 50 other interns, let's say, you'll actually have to fight for attention from the right people. And I'm not going to, you know, pretend that you will always get the attention of your minister or the special officers. Yep. It's something that you actually have to fight for.
Fighting for attention in the world of politics is so foreign to me.
Do the coordinators or people like yourselves, are, I mean, do you have it within your purview to sort of push these ministries a little bit to help groom them if they're not so ready to accept an intern, for example, into the fold?
As the Ministry of Youth and Sports, what we've been doing throughout this program as the main coordinator is we've been encouraging ministers to utilize the Perdana Fellows. To be fair, in the first batch, since it was a new program, a lot of ministries were a little bit, they were adapting to the idea.
I mean, it's new.
Exactly. But At the second batch of Perdana Fellows, I would say that there was not so much a need to actually do much pushing. And I think that at its third installation, I believe that the ministries will be much more open to having them.
Yeah. Yes. All right. So we now know that the Perdana Fellows program, you're taking applications, and you're taking applications all the way up to next week on the 25th of May. So there's not a lot of time left. So where do people go if they're interested in interning in Putrajaya?
Well, basically, you can go to the website, www.perdanafellows.com, and look at the application process. Basically, what they'll have to do is write an essay, and there are certain requirements based on age, and hopefully they will be able to send the applications in before the 25th of May.
And Sadiq, any tips for folks who are writing these applications? I mean, they need to spend a couple of all-nighters, or is something that they should, you know, be relaxed about?
Yeah, yes. I mean, you consider yourself one of the non-runners, in fact. And here you are on the show telling us how wonderful an opportunity it was.
I think one thing which is critical is for you to be as honest as possible. Like, you shouldn't reserve, like, what you write. Be as honest as possible, but do not forget that criticisms should come with solutions at the end as to what you can actually change. So I think that's the biggest, like one of the most important things to do in your essay. Mm-hmm. But just if I may, I just want to add one more thing. So like, besides given the opportunity to presumably get absorbed into respective ministries after working for that 3 to 6 months, and that's definitely a brilliant thing. So like, I think 15 of my colleagues have been given the opportunity to be absorbed and work directly under the ministers after they finish the program. But even if you don't, the fact that you can put it down on your CV that you've actually directly worked under a minister in Malaysia would help you.
It's not bad, is it?
In a lot of ways. Yeah, imagine having like, I worked for the Prime Minister for 6 months. Let's not even talk about like working for the government sector. Like, your ability to enter the private sector will also increase. However, I think at the end, putting all of that aside, I think one of the most important things, and I'm pretty sure a lot of hopeful Malaysian youth out there would agree with me, that it's not necessarily about the monetary incentive. It's not only about the reputational incentive, but the fact that you are no longer a bystander, that now you can become an active contributor in the formulation of Malaysian policies, is something which should be sufficient to compel a person to join the program and become that agent of change in comparison to only becoming that bystander. So I'm pretty sure there are a lot of hopeful Malaysian youth. And in order for us to craft a beautiful youth-centric Malaysia, I would recommend all the talented Malaysian youth out there to apply. Initially, I thought I couldn't get in, but I got in, and I'm pretty sure there are a lot more talented people out there who would also be given the opportunity.
Wow.
Terrific stuff. So, I mean,
this is to make up for his last comment.
Wow.
But I'd also like to bring up one fact. In the second batch of Perdana Fellows, I actually got together and did policy proposals. And the first proposal, which is a coding boot camp, which it was actually included in the national budget. And the second proposal was on regulation on fine print and is now under works under is in the process of being implemented by KPD and KK. And one of the three presenters of that specific policy is now working full-time under that ministry. So if you are passionate and you can show your capabilities, you can actually directly contribute to what will be national policy.
Terrific stuff. I mean, Carolyn, do you smell that? I mean, it's a melange of youth, optimism and enthusiasm.
Really,
I mean, the studio is filled with that right now.
My only regret is that I'm just a little past 30.
I take you.
Folks, we've been speaking about the Perdana Fellows Program. In studio with us is Sadiq Syed Abdul Rahman, a former Perdana Fellow, as well as Zara Kahan, the coordinator of the Perdana Fellows Program. We've got some music for you, On a Plane by Nirvana, right here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.